Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Beasley switching it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. A big thank you, as always, to the Killer Bees, Joel and Jeremy, for setting me up here tonight, and also our presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. Listen, soccer fans, tonight the number to call in, 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. We stream at ESPN975.com. By the way, I'm nervous here today. We're opening the next hour ahead of Game 5, right, Brian, of the World Series.
Game 5? That makes you kind of like, I guess, are you the opening act for the Stones? Like, what band would that make you?
Yeah, they've had some good ones during their time. Cactus Music would love that, I would say. Peter Tosh wants to open for them. When reggae was big, Foreigner. I actually saw people throw bottles at Foreigner. At
Who opened up this last time when you saw them?
Last time was Gary Clark, April, right? Gary Clark Jr. in Houston.
Oh, okay, nice.
Fantastic. All right, so we got a lot to get to tonight here, and I really am excited about this show. We'll have the Dynamo General Manager, Pat Onstad, join us. We also have, from Sounder at Heart, Nico Moreno. The Dynamo lost in penalties, as we mentioned last night. They have got to win on Sunday at 5:30. We got Dynamo tickets to give away here tonight. But the first thing is big, big news here, again, on the international soccer front. We have hosted the CONCACAF Gold Cup for many years, but we have never gotten the final here. And we always questioned, hey, why are we not getting the final? I mean, we are an incredible soccer city when it comes to the international content. Well, guess what? It was announced today, Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, CONCACAF announcing the Gold Cup final has been awarded to Houston next summer. Very well could be Mexico, U.S., Canada, who knows? But this is, I mean, the hits just keep coming. This is another big boon, and this is another reason why we are hosting the World Cup in 2026. So next summer in 2025, the Gold Cup final is here. Here is Lone Star Sports and Entertainment, David Fletcher.
Yeah, next summer is definitely going to be gold here in H-Town. So excited for the opportunity to host the 2025 CONCACAF Gold Cup Final right here at NRG Stadium on Sunday, July 6th. Really a culmination of the incredible efforts that so many in this community have done for so long in building up the beautiful game, building up Houston as a premier destination in the sport. Really can't even begin to put into words what it means to host a final, the stage that this is, the passion, the atmosphere that we'll see here at NRG Stadium around this event, leading into the FIFA World Cup the following year. Just a really important and really exciting development for our community, and looking forward to a big one next summer here at NRG.
Well, that is big stuff there. And again, that was David Fletcher from Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. So super exciting. By the way, congratulations again to the guys on the morning show, John Granato, Lance, for their Saturday's induction into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Where is that, by the way? Do we know?
Kilgore, Texas.
Oh, okay. Where is Kilgore, Texas?
I don't know. Okay. Exactly. I think it's near Waco. I'm not 100%.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, that's exciting. That's a great achievement for a great radio pairing and obviously an incredible body of work that John and Lance have done there. Great listen. All right. Again, Pat Onstad tonight, Nico Moreno of Pulso Sports and Sounder at Heart. I do want to wish a very happy birthday to a former teammate, Roberto Beto de Santos, who came here in to Houston the same time I did, 1984. He did not speak English. He came from Club America in Mexico. And Beto went on to obviously play for both the Houston Dynamos and then indoor with the Houston Hotshots. And even more important, did a ton of work in the youth community training young players. So Beto today turned 60. Happy birthday to Beto. And all right, we got something.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
All right, it's time to put a bow on the Ballon d'Or talk and this whole thing with Vinicius Jr. and Real Madrid and the fact that they didn't show up to the event in Paris. This is 100% a protest and a boycott. There's no question. You got to say why. Well, the reason why is Vinicius Jr., their talented attacking player, he did not win the award for the Ballon d'Or, which is given to the best player. Rodri got it. A kind of balancing midfielder that is a all-around midfielder. He got it. Generally, it's goal scorers and people doing those types of things. So that might have been a little bit of the shock. But he did not win the award. Real Madrid effectively then took their ball and they decided to go home. Now, I think this was driven by the president. I think we know that. Florentino Perez. But they went home like babies. Vinny Jr. had a party that was set up where he was reportedly going to hand out Rolexes. That was canceled. And then Nike was going to roll out a new shoe for Vinicius Jr. Now, again, Florentino Perez pulled the plug on this and said, look, we're not going to the event. It's embarrassing. I don't know why you would do that. I think that it's egregious in many, many ways for Real Madrid to not show up at this event. I think it's bad sportsmanship. By the way, sportsmanship is one of the criteria that they use to pick the number one player. So to not be there, it's very sad. The La Liga president, Javier Tebas, came out. He spoke about the fact that, you know, he loved Real Madrid, but that for many years now, Real Madrid has struggled in the sportsmanship category. Bad look for La Liga, bad look for Real Madrid. I'm not sure if it was Vinicius Jr. who pulled the plug on it. Doesn't seem like it was. It seems like it was Florentino Perez. And he may have done it out of ego, of course. Embarrassed to go there after losing to Barcelona 4-0 in El Clasico. He could have done it to poke the bear of motivation. But everybody against us, that whole thing, we've been cheated, the Crimea River, we're victims. I think we're all tired of that in a lot of areas. So, I don't know. Hey, if you're Jude Bellingham, you might have said, hey, maybe I should have won the Ballon d'Or, right? The beauty in this is that the man who won it, Rodri, reached out to Dani Carvajal of Real Madrid, who also is injured, and said that this award was his as well. And that, in the end, was real sportsmanship. Took the ball and went home. Hard to believe. All right, that's Game On for 90. There you go. Let's put the end to that. Just bizarre. I don't know. Here's what Javier Tebas said. Let me just tell you what he exactly said. He said, I'm a real Real Madrid fan. He then goes on to say, and this is the president of La Liga, president of the league. He says, quote, the most important values of this club are being a gentleman and shaking hands when you lose. I think Real Madrid lost that spirit a long time ago. They should have gone to the ceremony and not questioned France football's system, which is transparent with 100 journalists voting. If they're mad, they have to be mad at the journalists. They're the ones who voted. I don't know. To me, it's Crimea River. It's victimhood. It's an exaggeration of the situation. And I don't think it's a good look. I don't think it's leadership. And that's too bad. So, of course, all the former Real Madrid players are going to come out and defend Vinicius, Karim Benzema, Zinedine Zidane. Of course, they're all going to come out and defend it. But I think you can make those points that here's why we think he really should have won. And I think you can make those points very strongly without doing it in a way that it looks a little bit shaming on your own club by not showing up. But that's the president, and we all know football presidents and presidents of professional sports teams have pretty big egos, right? Brian, up there in Dallas, that man's got a pretty big ego, Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones? He might have the biggest in all of sport.
There you go. Well, it's his team. He can do what he wants with it.
He has for years.
And you know what? His craziness probably draws attention to the club, but they don't win titles. That's one thing we know for sure. All right. Last night caught, I wish I could put mainstream sports people in front of what I saw last night, which was Copa Libertadores, second leg of a semifinal between Atlético Mineiro of Brazil and the Argentine side. And, I mean, this was incredible. At the Monumental Stadium, crazy amount of fans, fireworks. River Plate is the team I'm talking about. They ended up in a nil-nil draw, so they will not advance. Atlético Mineiro will advance. And then tonight, Botafogo plays, but they're up 5-0 on aggregate. So you're going to get an all-Brazilian final with Botafogo and Atlético Mineiro. But the environment in this stadium was crazy. I mean, there were more fireworks floating. They took overhead shots with cameras. It's absolutely spectacular. And I've said it on the show a lot of times about the Copa Libertadores and the game in South America. When you get the spit-shined investment, perfectly manicured football of the Premier League, the counter to that is the beautiful rawness of the game in South America. The definition of a foul in the Premier League is definitely different than the definition of a foul in South America. They let the game play a little bit more in South America. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. It's Botafogo and Peñarol tonight, but Peñarol, they got to reverse a 5-0 aggregate, so I think it's pretty clear it's going to be two Brazilian teams. But I would push you, especially all of you who are so tied in to the Premier League and that's your watch, I would push you and nudge you, or maybe both, to watching the Copa Libertadores final, which will be between Botafogo and Atlético Mineiro. They got two of the highest goal scorers in the tournament. Botafogo has Junior Santos with 9 goals. Paulinho with Atlético Mineiro has 7. This will be pretty crazy. It would have been better if maybe River Plate had gotten through, so it was an Argentine-Brazilian clash, which would have been even more crazy. But sit down and watch it and stick with it. And then I would love to hear some people respond to what they saw, because it's refreshing nowadays with a lot of the over-commercialization of the game sometimes. It's refreshing. So anyway, that will be, I believe, on Saturday, the final. I believe the Saturday is the final. And again, coming up after this show tonight, we have the World Series. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in. 713-780-3776. I got tickets to the Dynamo Seattle to give away. Couple of notes on the Dynamo Seattle. So first of all, the Dynamo have to win Sunday night, 5:30. They have to win. A couple of things I would say. They're going to have to be bolder. They're going to have to be a little bit more courageous in attack, a little less pragmatic than they were on the road, which a lot of times happens with road tactics. Hector Herrera's got to get higher up the field. You've got to get Ezequiel Ponce higher up the field so he can do his thing around the penalty area. And you're going to have to find a better wide game than you had in Seattle. Set pieces will be a big piece of this. There's no question. But the Dynamo hang their hat on the possession game and their combination play. Seattle's got a great back four. They got guys that can do it in the air. Yamar, Jackson Reagan, Nuhu. You hit crosses in there with this team, you're not going to win a lot of them. So the Dynamo combination play, their play on the ground, their 1-2s, their tricks and flicks, they're going to have to be successful with that, and they're going to have that part of their game balanced with a wide game to pull people a little bit apart, east to west on Seattle. I don't think there's a lot of secrets between these two teams. Obed Vargas, who's Now with the Mexican national team, he returns for Seattle while we lose Coco Carrasquilla. And by the way, emotional control can be the difference in winning and losing games. And emotional control was not something Coco had. And I'm sorry, I know there's a lot of Coco fans out there. But if you watch that game closely, when I was calling it, I noticed he was very agitated very early. I also noticed he was throwing his arms around. It was very aggressive with his upper body in this game, to the point it was almost a little bit silly. So it's not a surprise he was sent off, but it was, you know, it defined the Dynamo tactics. Now they were going to sit back and play for penalties. I think the Dynamo were planning to keep it close the whole time. Even there were some signs in the first half, even where there was time wasting, taking your time tying shoes, throwing the ball in, because fairly, you're trying to disrupt the tempo of an opponent. But there's just not enough going forward. Didn't have a shot on goal. Didn't have a shot on goal. That'll change, without a doubt, on Sunday. But don't forget, this is the number one defensive team in the league you're playing in the Seattle Sounders. They do not concede a lot of goals. Dynamo were 21 out of 29 in the league when it comes to scoring goals. So Seattle very much is going to come in here and, you know, decide that we'll play in transition. We'll see if Jordan Morris can play for them. He's had a hamstring issue. Their head coach, Brian Smetcher, said if he says he's able to go, we'll go with him. If not, I've got a very, very capable striker. In fact, he's the all-time leading goal scorer for Seattle, Raul Ruiz Diaz, who has already said he's moving on. So Hector Herrera's got to get higher. Ezequiel Ponce's got to get higher. The entire team has to get higher. And I do think it has to be a little less methodical and a little bit more urgent in breaking lines when it comes to penetrating passes. I get holding on to it and being a bit methodical in Seattle, very tough place to play. I don't care what anybody says. Artificial surface out there is hard to play on. It's not easy. You have to pass the ball differently. You've got to play at the feet more. It looked like the Dynamo, to me, struggled in possession with the surface. And look, you win Sunday, you go back there, and you got one more shot at it. It's not bad. It's not over by any means. 713-780-3776, the number to call here tonight. What was a little interesting to me is that everybody, and I guess fans do this now, and I know there's others out there who saw other things, but what you see on the internet and social media is, oh, we should have won in penalties, and, you know, it was the referee. I said this last night. Coco shouldn't have been sent off. Coco deserved to be sent off. I say it truthfully here. He was itching to get sent off, and he got sent off, and now he can't play. And like I said, to control your emotions is a weapon. It's a weapon in sports. It's a weapon in life. You have to know when and where to break out with it. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad is coming up next. Big shout out to Cactus Music. Cactus Music is going to like the fact, my good friend Quinn, that this is the Archangels with Charlie Sexton. Great Texas band. Unbelievable. Hugh O'Connor's Pup. That's where you can watch games. NFL, Premier League, you name it. They've got it. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10, the Markey Entertainment Center. Great whiskey and beer offerings out there. Get out there. Been great supporters of this show. Also, brought in a little gift for Brian. I know he's happy. He's going to go home with a little Patagonia empanadas tonight. You love them.
Yeah, that'll be some nice food to chow down on and watch the last few innings of the World Series when
there
I get
you
home.
Go. Heat those babies up.
Yeah,
I didn't have enough time because I cut it way too close.
Oh,
I didn't have
perfect.
Enough time
care.
To get them warmed up because I was worried I was going to get here on time. So it's a yellow card to me. Right now, caller number 4, 713-780-3776. You will get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Seattle playoffs.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. You ever heard of this band, Brian? Devo?
Of course.
The Evolution. Maybe that's what we're in right now. I don't know. All right. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Jan Christensen, the best in modern contemporary furniture. DanishInspirations.com. And as always, we're very, very thankful for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. All right, let's go right to the general manager of the Houston Dynamo East, Pat Onstad. He joins us now. Pat, thanks for coming on, as always.
Hey, Glenn, thanks for having me on.
I'm a fortunate radio host, because whenever I ask, you always come on, and I really appreciate that. And I think, more importantly, I think the Dynamo fans appreciate that. So, again, thank you for that. All right, so let's just get right into it. Thoughts on game one?
Yeah, it was an opportunity maybe for a little bit. I think we probably look at it as an opportunity lost. You know, the way the playoffs worked for us, and now the setup that we have is we'd lost 5-0. It's the same as losing, you know, 5-4 on penalty kicks. So that's a little bit disheartening. But I would say from the belief from the group was that we could hang with these guys, even though our record isn't great with them in Seattle. And I thought we played... taking the red card out of it, about as good a game as you can play against Seattle. I mean, they're a difficult team to break down, and we hung in there, and hopefully we can get the result here and then go try to get some success up there in game three.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, and by the time this interview is over, Pat, I'm going to ask you about your time in goal in the playoffs with the Dynamo. But there was a moment where the Dynamo put together, in the, I believe it was the first half, some great combination play. They put in Ezequiel Ponce, and I'm just like, okay, this could be it. 1-0. Shoot. And he turns and turned out of there. I know it was at a pretty tough angle, but he turned out of there and then recirculated the ball. And I'm saying, man, that's why you're brought here. Shoot. And then the surface is wet. Do you remember that play and your thoughts on that?
Actually, I'm trying to remember it. I don't remember the play itself. What I will say is, I think for our group is when you play at Seattle, is you're not going to get a ton of chances. And at times, I think you've got to, when you do get an opportunity, you've got to take your chance. You're not going to be able to walk it in against them. I think they're really well disciplined in how they play defensively. And I think the example is, you know, there was an opportunity where Ibra maybe could have crossed it to Ponce in the transition, and it takes a left-footed half volley from the corner of the penalty box. But in the end, to your point, Glenn, is that might be a shot that's worthwhile taking against the Seattle, whereas against maybe someone else, we would kind of want him to walk it, try to walk it in, get a little bit of better opportunity. But it was a game is, again, it's going to be a few chances for both teams. And whoever can take them and then kind of hold on is who's going to win it. Unfortunately for us, that came down to penalties.
So these are the two of the best defensive teams in the league. We know that the Dynamo's a great possession team. Seattle, 17 out of 29 teams in goals scored. We're 21. Is there an additional pressure, you think, on this team to be efficient, to be so efficient, when maybe you don't get as many chances? And is that something you're looking at trying to correct?
I don't know if we're going to maybe correct that in the next three to five days or whatever it is now until we play. I barely remember what day of the week it is. But I think for us it's something, you know, we'll try to address in the off season. But for us, we know who we are and we know who Seattle is. And if anyone was expecting a high scoring affair, that's not going to happen in this series. But it's just going to take their opportunities when they get them. I think at home, on a grass surface where it doesn't take us 30 minutes to adjust to the turf, we'll be in a much better position. And hopefully we can create a few more opportunities and put one or two past them and force game three.
Yeah, that wasn't a question that was meant short-term here in the playoffs. That was more of a long-term question to you.
I think it's a good question, Glenn. I think it's something you and I have discussed before on the show, and it's certainly, as you mentioned, we have an elite defense. I think we can compete with the best of them, like the Seattle and we don't give up many opportunities, which keeps us in a lot of games. And this year, you know, that's probably the number one reason why we're in the position that we're in. We finished fifth is because of our defense. We need to start taking some pressure off of those guys and find ways to score goals and be a little more efficient in the final third, as you mentioned as well. Great possession team, but it kind of breaks down often in the final third. And I think that's while coaching can take you so far, I also think in the end that ends up being high quality. Our league's a very good league, and it's tough to score goals. So something we'll certainly be looking at in the offseason.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onsett. Yeah, I agree. And by the way, I just want to remind people, it's really easy from my position here to be saying these things, but they are things that we do see. And it's okay to debate and talk about these things, especially when we have Pat on. I would just say, you know, does this team need a dribbler, a little bit more of a breakdown guy in the front five? Does this team need a little bit more transition game to balance off all these great things that are already in place?
Maybe. Do we need some more options? I think yes. I mean, that was part of the idea by bringing in Lawrence and Ollie. You know, I think we went out and recruited a guy that's being recruited by top five leagues, and we're pretty happy we landed him. And unfortunately, I think in the game that he really had a breakout moment against LAFC where he rounds Hugo Lloris and with at ease and scores, and you think, there's the guy we need here to help jumpstart our attack. And unfortunately, you know, 15 minutes later, he's being carted off and he's got an ACL and done for a year. So I think we tried to address that. You know, Nelson Quiñones is another one that also had an ACL injury with Colombia. So for us, it's a little frustrating. I think if we had those two players, are we in a better position? Are we able to create more, especially against a stingy defense like Seattle's? And maybe, possibly. But it'd be nice to have those options, but we don't have them. We'll have them next year. That's what we'll have to focus on, how we do that this Sunday.
Yeah, that was a big blow losing those two guys. Do you ever think that, like, let's say all three of those guys were healthy, and Ali... Quiñones, and Aliyu. If all three were healthy, you think there's a way to get two out of three of them on the field?
That's the Ben question. That's a good question. That's a question that Asher Mendelson, our technical director, and I will be asked Ben on Wednesday night. I'm sure Ben would love to be able to have that question thrown at him so he had those options. But, you know, at the same token, you know, I think we've with what we've had in terms of this season, I think we've done really well. You know, we got three more points than we did the year before. Last year, that gave us fourth spot, 51. 54 this year is fifth. So, unfortunately, we have to go play that game three on the road now. So, you know, for us, we'll focus, A, in our attack, but B, we're just really excited for the opportunity to make sure we get a game three in this series.
Yeah, yeah. And the Dynamo 530, HoustonDynamo.com for tickets. Get out there, support the Dynamo. HoustonDynamo.com for tickets. I'm going to give a pair away at the end of this segment, so be ready. We've been giving them out here last night and tonight, so people are getting some free tickets to go down and see incredible soccer and high-level playoff soccer. Pat, I know you have an eye on everything next year as well as Sunday, right? I mean, that's what a general manager does. You're looking at all these very, very different things. You know, you've got a lot of money invested in Sebas Ferreira, Hector Herrera, and Ezequiel Ponce. I first go to Ezequiel. Man, this is a savvy striker. He uses his body well. I mean, I guess one of the big pieces of Sunday is getting him around the penalty area. I mean, he did some things that are very subtle. In fact, he threw a little bit of a nudge on one of the center backs of Seattle. He opened a counterattack up for the Houston Dynamo. Speak a little bit about him. He's got 5 goals now in 12 games.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's done well for us. He hasn't played all, you know, his stretches, but also it took a little while to get him used to our group. I think he'll be better next year. We'll have a better understanding how to play with him. And I thought the Seattle game was a good example of some things that he can bring to our group. You know, I thought he held it up well against two of the best center backs in the league. When those guys, it's not easy to do. And I thought at times, as you'd mentioned, he was able to kind of lay balls off and then combine in the one play that really turned the game, unfortunately for us. But he gets that he's such in and then getting behind. And I think he's going to bring different options for us as a forward. And he seems to have adjusted pretty well for us.
There are highs and lows with a general manager. Were you disappointed in Coco Karaskia for the lack of control last night?
If I'm being honest, yes. I think it's unfortunate for us, and we have a terrible history against Seattle on this, and we've taken four red cards in the last five games against them. And I think they're a good team, and it's them with 10 men, all the best. It's pretty difficult. So the guys did, you know, certainly battle hard to make sure they took it to penalties. But Coco's an experienced player. He should try to control his actions. But at the same token, I've been there before. I've lashed out as a pro, and I was a lot older than Coco. So it is an emotional game, and we like our players to play edge. Unfortunately, you know, he went over the edge a little bit.
I don't remember you getting sent off. Did you get sent off? I don't know if we lost Pat here, I think. Hey, Pat, I think we lost you. By the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, okay, there you are. I don't remember you ever getting sent off.
Yeah, I got sent off once for a last man back one, but I've had a few moments. I think this day and age, it's good there's no VAR. Let's put it that way. So I kind of got away with it a few times. We were talking about that, saying, you know, now with VAR that you can't get away with, you know, Coco's actions anymore. I think in the past that was pretty common in Robertson State, and you would see those dust-ups and guys would get little shots in. But nowadays we all know that. We know what we live under, and unfortunately, you know, it's going to cost us Coco for game two.
How about a thought from you on the Gold Cup final being awarded to Houston? This is a very big deal for the city. Obviously, we got the 2026 World Cup here, but the content that continues to pour through Houston internationally, what a big boon this is really for the city.
Yeah, I think the city itself is a soccer city. I mean, there's no, you know, you don't have to go and try to find people, and I think you really saw it last summer. Or this past summer, which I attended some of those games, but I think back to the Paraguay Colombia game, and I thought, oh, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that busy. And I came in, and it was a sea of yellow. I don't know, it was 57,000, I believe. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of soccer fans here. They support it, and I'm glad to hear that they've got the final.
Pat, best of luck on Sunday. Thank you so much for coming on, as always, on pretty short notice. We appreciate it, and I know the fans do. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All
let's
right.
go. Let's get out there if you can. Support us on Sunday. We're excited about the game.
There you heard it from Pat Onstad, the general manager. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. HoustonDynamo.com. So a big thanks to Pat for coming on. This is ELO, Do Ya. Great song. Got to get that game's first goal. That would be nice. There's very slim margins between these two teams. Very slim margins. I hope the Dynamo can get Ezequiel Ponce around the penalty box more in this game. Get higher up the field. Get Hector higher up the field. I'm hoping. You win that game, and guess what? You go back to Seattle. Anything can happen. We've already seen Columbus. Columbus lost to the New York Red Bulls at home. Minnesota took RSL in penalties at RSL. So there's two results from teams that were on the road. All right, another pair of tickets. Can we do that, Brian? All right, Brian says yes, we can, so we are. Caller number 3 at 713-780-3776. Caller number 3, 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets. Dynamo Seattle, 5:30 on Sunday. And these tickets, courtesy of Little Patagonia Empanada.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Freak.
congratulate him and him and all his family and dear friends. This is incredible news for him and, of course, for all of us, for all Manchester City, for our fans. We are so proud of him. I think it's the first time we could never imagine, you know, years ago that one player received this prestigious award, that we are so delighted to, you know, to be part of it, to share it with him.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
That was Pep Guardiola, and this is Duran Duran with the song White Lines. This was a cover of Grandmaster Flash and Mel Mel. A song called White Lines. It's actually an anti-drug song, if you listen to the words, but I like the beat. All right, so our break music always makes me think of the great Cactus Music. Get down there for vinyl CDs, new and used vinyl, by the way. I like the old school. You know, you don't find a lot of 90s vinyl. That's hard to find because that's when CDs begin. All right, so Duran Duran. I once saw them at the Madison Square Garden. In the fourth row. All right. Welcome back to the show. We're working on Nico Moreno of Sounder at Heart. We're working on him. Projected lineup for the Dynamo Sunday. I mean, I think we're only going to see probably one change. That's with Coco Karaskia out. I think it's a pretty safe bet you're going to see Sebastian Kovalchuk from the start. He's had a starting role. He's busy. He's energetic. I think that would be a good guy to play in there at the start of the game. Could potentially be Latif Blessing as well, but I don't think that's going to be much of a surprise. I think it's going to be Sebastian Kovalchuk, but that's projected from me. That's not from the coach, Ben Olsen. For Seattle, I think you're going to see Obed Vargas come back into the lineup for Joao Paulo, although Joao Paulo, came back into the lineup for Seattle and did what he needed to do. And I think I was always thinking it was going to be him because of his experience. So the flip side, the Dynamo lose Coco Karaskia. They're going to probably start Sebastian Kovalchuk there. And flip side for Seattle, Obed Vargas, expect him back in the lineup for Joao Paulo. We go Sounder at Heart. He is Nico Moreno. He joins us now. He was on the show recently, and he's back on again tonight. Nico, thank you very much for coming on.
Hey, Glenn, thank you for having me back on. I am excited about game two. And you know what? Just a warm hello to all of your audience.
All right. So, postmortem, you know, one thing I like about the Seattle press, I was listening to the press conference with Brian Schmetzer. And one thing I like the press relationship you have there. The other thing is, the press are not afraid to say, hey, you know, you won on penalties, but you didn't really play as well as maybe you wanted to, right? They're not afraid to say those types of things. And in return, Brian Schmetzer doesn't really, that doesn't bother him.
I love you bring that up. I really do. Because we do. Me, specifically, Brian knows that when it comes to Nico Moreno, I want to be straightforward, and I want to tell him how things are like and what I see. So when he came to the game, there was a couple of us that brought up the fact that they couldn't close the game in 90 minutes, although they had an extra man on the field for most of the game. And you know what? He thought it was interesting the way the game played out, and that in a three-game series, it was important to get the W. But honestly, he knew and understood the fact that the team was not able to do what he wanted to and that they should have closed the game in 90 minutes. So, yes, when it comes to the Seattle media, there is one or two of us, three of us, that we let him know how it is.
Yeah, he never exaggerates things, and he never, you know, tries to make things what they're not. I mean, I think he's a real realist when he comes to being involved with the press, and I really like that. We're talking to Nico Moreno of Sounder at heart. By the way, before I go back to you, Nico, Juventus a 2-2 draw today with Parma. I just wanted to mention this before the show's over because you got goals today from two Americans, Weston McKennie and Timothy Weah in that game. So that's good news. We always like seeing the Americans hit in the goal scoring charts. Okay, so back to the Seattle attack. It's 17 out of 29 in the league. The Dynamo were 21. These two teams are cut on basically being great defending teams and able to control games. That's what Seattle will do when they come here Sunday. What do you think has been the problem in attack this year for the Seattle Sounders?
Man, where do I start? I mean, it honestly has been a variety of things. A guy like Pedro de la Vega, your young DP, he has not quite gotten what Brian wants. And I mean, he's a young player, for one. And then for two, he's had injuries. There's been a lot of things that have enabled his process with the team. So when you don't have one of the main components of that attacking triangle that is fully involved with what Brian wants, he tends to, you know, hold things back.
Nico, can I just stop you there, though? He came over when? When did he come to the team? Was he here preseason or did he come in the summer?
Oh, my God. He came before, in between preseasons, because he got hurt in Argentina national team U-20
okay.
camp.
Okay.
And that's why he wasn't really available.
So he's had limited, right? Limited games. I think he's only played 12 or 13 times, right?
He has, but if you go 90 minutes, he's had about 8 games total.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had less than 700 minutes overall. So he's still trying to catch up to what Brian wants. The chemistry with the team, I mean, it's difficult. You know that.
Yeah, and he's a young DP, and he's trying to work his way into it. So what else do you think's the piece? Albert Lushnak has looked like he's done a good job in the playmaking role.
He has, absolutely. And you can see it with the stats. But ultimately, who puts the ball away? The striker. And Jordan Morris, his forte isn't really finishing. And you could see it every single game, right? So now that Raul Diaz might be the guy, and I think it's unfair to try to say, hey, Raul, come and finish the game for us in the playoffs when the last time you were the starter was against Sporting Kansas City in June. So it might be difficult. There's some rust. There's some game rhythm, things that need to be worked out when it comes to Raul Diaz. But at the end of the day, I think that he's one of the guys that when it comes to finishing, he has that venom in him.
Yeah.
He has one of those traits in his DNA that might make things work.
And he's the kind of guy in Houston that in a small space can make something happen. We've seen him do it so many times, and he can produce a goal. I think he's a really, really dangerous X factor. I think he has a point to prove leaving Seattle. I think we saw that with the Panenka and penalties. And I also think that, you know, listen, what are you guys complaining about? You got a 13-goal scorer in Morris. Raul Rui Diaz has got 8. Our leading goal scorer has 6 down here. Our leading goal scorer has 6. What are you complaining about?
That's that Glenn Davis factor. I mean, you know the game, right? Most people are like, oh, my God, Raul Diaz coming in. You know the game. There is a specific profile when it comes to strikers, and he serves that. He has that within him. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, it's difficult to, like, ask him to do as much as you want when he has 100 minutes. But if Glenn Davis says, hey, you got to come in, you got to score, I think Raul hears you.
I listen, I know the Houston Dynamo respect this guy. MLS respects him, and he can make a play, and it can happen in the blink of an eye. I did hear that Brian Schmetzer said that Jordan Morris, they're going to check his hamstring. He could still potentially start, but this is another great X factor in this game. We're talking to Nico Moreno, Sounder at heart. Nico, if you look at the Sounders in the future, Is it fair to say, because I keep hearing, I hear a couple things. I hear people say this is not the best version of the Sounders. Well, it certainly is defensively because they're number one in the league. But I also hear that there may be big changes coming with former Dynamo Craig Weibel in the GM position when it comes to bringing in more attacking pieces. How do you feel about that, and what do you know?
There are big changes coming up. There are. And Raul Ruidíaz probably won't be within this squad next year. I've talked to Craig several times, and I believe that the club wants to bring in a new striker. And Jordan Morris, he has abilities at the position, but I feel like he could do the exact same productivity when it comes to the team at the wide position. So we could put him out wide, be a winger, come in, do what he does, which is be electric, be dynamic, be a guy that collapses defenses. And you go out of there and get a nine, a true striker, someone that's going to give you 20 goals in the season, and that makes the team go much better.
Well, you I'm going to stop you there, because if you find a 20-goal scorer, Craig Weibel deserves, you know, build him a throne. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. And I agree with you on Morris. I would also add that Morris is getting older. He's now 30. You got to add some depth in that position. And by the way, this is a guy that I think, remarkably, we have to give him a lot of credit, has come back from two ACL injuries that were very severe, right?
Yes, and he has. And you have to, I don't know, when I see Jordan Morris work as hard as he does every single day, I got to tip my hat. There is no one else in MLS that I think works as hard as he does to make sure he's there every single game, getting better, working on what he feels needs to be worked on. So because of that, I got a little pride for him. I feel proud to have a guy like Jordan Morris have that shield on his chest. But I do know and understand that I feel like he could do those same things
as a wide guy. And he has done them. Nico, last one, because we got to go, because we have the World Series coming up on our network here. But I wanted to ask you about the importance of, you know, the Roldan brothers, Jackson Reagan, Baker Reed Whiting, Morris. The fact that these guys are Seattle area guys and have that connection, man, that has got to be a real source of pride and a huge piece for marketing.
It's huge. When you look at how long Paul Rothrock and Reagan have been playing together, it makes you feel proud of the Pacific Northwest and what they can do in a larger scale. And when you talk about Alex Roldan and a guy that came through a program like the Seattle U program, which is not very big, it's not something that you usually see. I think that
but it's a good program. It is a very good program. I don't want people to think it's not a good college soccer program. It's an excellent college soccer program.
Thank you, Glenn. And I appreciate that. But you know what? In Houston, they might not know what Seattle U might provide.
Well, that's why I said that. But that's why I jumped in to say that, because, anyway, so go. You carry on, Nico, because we got about a minute and we got to get out of here.
No, Coach Pete Kewin, the Seattle U, everybody that's the big, brilliant minds behind what Seattle does, they understand what the Pacific Northwest can provide, and specifically the Seattle area. So when it comes to the Roldan brothers, when it comes to Jackson Reagan, Paul Rothrock, you know what? Even Georgie Manungu, that's what Seattle soccer is about, the community, the academy. I feel like they've done a fantastic job so far providing players that can be real productive at the MLS level.
All right. Listen, Nico, I got to go. Great job. We'll look to get you on again. If this goes three, we'll look to get you on again. Thank you for coming on the show tonight. We appreciate it. All right. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Brian McDonald, BMAC, podcast, Spotify. Get it right here at ESPN975.com, Google as well, and Apple. That'll do it tonight. World Series coming up next. This is Soccer Matters, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.